Where is he?
Where are you?
Skull Rock. Do you know it?
Hello, this is Stacy reporting live from the Skull Rock broadcast. I am joined by...
Hello, this is Megan, and we're going to talk about Joe now.
No way. No, I don't believe it.
I just, before we started recording, was like, okay, are we going to talk about Joe now?
Guys, I'm telling you, I mean, the people who are probably sick of hearing it, we're really sorry, but this is our, like, you know, final, for the time being, recap of the last couple of shows we have attended, because as we know, Joe has been doing the Back on You tour, and he has been traveling all over the country, and we were fortunate to be able to go to a few shows. So we're just going to kind of talk about Joe, answer some questions, fangirl out, swoon a little bit, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, so... I mean, I'm supposed to say welcome back to our Stranger Things podcast, but as you know, we're
putting a pin in it.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to come back to Stranger Things, we promise, next week. We have a great Stranger Things episode planned. And then we're going to get back into our season 3 deep dive, which is the perfect time of the year for it at this point. Mm-hmm. So very excited about that. But Joe, man, we just...
Joe.
Had
it's pronounced Joe.
Yeah, it's pronounced Joe. Like, and it's just been so fun. And I don't know how I would have gotten through the past month without Joe.
I feel like the stars aligned, honestly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we were talking before we started recording that, you know, just kind of venting and just being like, you know, we're going through some shit. Megan's going through some stuff, you know, with her family and stuff. And it's hard. You know, it definitely is. So I'm a huge advocate for... get those little bits of serotonin, go to the convention, you know, go to the concert, try to feel a little good, because you need these little lighthouses almost while you're going through something. And I think really, like, I don't know, the inner Joe gods basically were like, you know what, we're going to give Megan all the serotonin we can. And you went to a few shows, which I cannot wait to hear about. But we are going to be talking about his last couple of shows on the tour. And lucky for you, I mean, I'm like, fuck that. But he's doing the second leg on the tour, which is, what is it called?
Another Bite. We're going to take another bite.
Literally. So I ordered the Apple t-shirt, but it only came in white. And I was like, fuck. So my coworker, Lauren, she owns a sewing machine. So I literally went, we're going to sew that onto a black t-shirt. She's like, that's going to look stupid. Like, no, we're going to make it work because I love the artwork, but hoping they sell some posters because I really like the visuals and stuff.
Yeah,
the eight ball, the smiley
cool.
face.
Mm-hmm.
But you said you're going to go to a few of those, huh?
Yeah. So we'll save that for the end. We'll talk about.
You're like, hold your horses, Stace.
Well, let's talk about the ones we just did, and then we'll let you know which ones we're gonna do for the next one, because I literally just bought another concert ticket today.
she's unstoppable. Guys, this is, you know, we're going to have an intervention.
No, but I said to Stacy, I was like, I love concerts. I love live music. That's always
you
been
do.
A thing. I love traveling.
Yeah.
So when I can travel
and you love Joe Keery.
For live music, that's been like a thing that I love to do. And then I love Joe Keery. So it's like, and I love Joe and I love this music. So it's like just the perfect trifecta. It's like, I have to take advantage of it.
I literally think I'm going to reference Friends, guys. I'm a millennial. There was an episode where Alec Baldwin guest starred and he was dating Phoebe and he's just really like positive and everything's great. And finally she talked to him and she's like, you are literally like Santa Claus at Disney World getting laid. And like literally that's Megan right now with traveling, concerts, and Joe Keery. Like the holy trifecta.
Yeah, it's really bad, but so good. And like you said, we just have to find the joy in things, and that's going to be my joy this year. And thanks, Joe.
And I got to tell you, I always think of you with the post animal last goodbye. I was listening to it while watering my plants yesterday, guys. And I just always think of Megan, you know, because you said that in Denver, you were like, you know, I'm always going to associate with what I'm going through right now in that song. So
yeah,
that's now your song,
it
baby
is
doll.
My song. Thank you. I love. and the new post animal single that just came out this week, Pie in the Sky.
It's so fun.
So fun. We talked about that on our other episode, our bonus episode this week too. But I love it so much. So
sounds like a bunch of Muppets singing. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. In the best way. So, All right. So basically Skull Rock Broadcast was at the whole East Coast tour almost.
Yeah. Megan was our field reporter because, like, I couldn't fucking handle it. So she was like, you know, when the reporters are reporting, like, literally in the surf during a hurricane, she went to multiple shows.
But you went to one that I didn't go to. So I'm excited to hear about that one, too. So
that definitely was a fun one. But I know that after we did Denver, your next show was, what, a week later? And it was D.C.?
Yeah, yeah. So we did Denver, I think that was a Wednesday, and then DC was the following Thursday. Talk about DC, which was Thursday. It's been a couple weeks now, but
yeah.
Then you were in Boston, which was that Friday.
Yeah.
And then I had Philly on Saturday, which we were very sad that you missed out on, but it is what it is.
Hashtag kidney stones, guys.
Yeah.
Sucks.
And then I also went to nights 2 and 3 in Brooklyn, which was he was in Brooklyn Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I was not at the Monday show, but I went on Tuesday and Wednesday. So that was the rest of the first leg of Back on You tour in the U.S.
Tell me, how was the D.C. show? Because, like, I know he had done Toronto, which was epic. And the D.C. show, like, kind of tell me about it.
I'm pretty sure the DC show was like one of the biggest crowds, if not the biggest crowd on their tour. The venue was really cool. It was
what was the name of the venue? Do you remember?
It was called the Anthem. And it's on this place called the Wharf in DC, which is kind of like this waterfront. There's like a marina. So DC is like a little over an hour drive from me. So I have a friend who is like she's one of my best friends, and she is a good concert buddy. Like, she's always like down to go to a concert with me, which is awesome.
Nice.
So we drove to DC. We parked. We did not have VIP or any sort of early access.
So your general admission, right?
We just GA. They didn't have any fast pass or anything for this show. So the line had already started to form when we got there. Obviously, because people were getting in line for these things like hours ahead
of time.
Super
early, yeah.
But we were like, it's nice. Well, it was actually probably too hot. It was a little too hot that day. But we ended up just going and sitting at a bar and having cocktails and getting raw oysters, which I thought it was so funny that we talked about how I wanted to get oysters in Denver.
The snot that makes you horny. Like, of course. Is this the show where he wore the camouflage, like, tank top?
Yeah.
Girl. Okay. Yep. I know what show now.
But then, so we did get in line, like, I don't know, maybe like 5:30, maybe around a little before 5, I think, is
so
when we got in line.
So just pre-gamed hard, had oysters in your belly. Nice.
Yeah,
How long did you wait in line?
Like 2 hours, maybe.
Not bad.
But it was nice. We were just by the water. We weren't really sitting, like, we were standing, and the line was moving a little bit because they were kind of condensing the line at that point.
Nice.
Because people had been very spread out in line just to, like, kind of get spots in the shade and stuff. So they were trying to, like, kind of condense the line in. But it was funny because when we went in, we could have gotten pretty close spots on the floor, and we almost did. Not probably like around the same spots that we had in Denver, if not like a little bit further back. But they have this really cool balcony and these box seats.
I know you guys got good seats in the balcony.
Yeah, so we didn't actually have seats. So there's two balconies. So there's a second floor and a third floor, and there's these boxes, and there's two rows of actual seats in the boxes, which they sell tickets for. But then behind the actual seats, there's like another 3 tiers where people can stand.
Sick. And, okay.
Obviously you're standing for the show, but when we went up there, we went to the second floor to the very first box. So you're pretty much as close to the stage as you could be in the balcony. Mm-hmm. And there were some people in that row already, but there was room for us. And we just like sat down on the ground while we were waiting. So we were able to like actually be sitting.
That's pretty good.
And just like extended our legs out because the area is enough for people to stand too deep, but mm-hmm. like you would be like behind people if you're standing
got
too deep.
You. Yep.
So I think we were kind of just sitting, kind of keeping that space for ourselves. And once the show started, there were people who came behind us
got
in
you.
There. And but they kind of all were very polite and like asked to come in and stand behind
nice.
Us. Like,
yeah.
So
they had good etiquette. Yeah.
Yeah. And they didn't really like try to push to like get in front of us. They just stood behind us and like watched through like the windows, so we weren't like
you guys
cramped.
Had a good view.
It was yeah. amazing. It was comfortable. The place was nice. We were able to just like go to the bathroom, get snacks, get drinks
nice.
If we wanted to, like, and get come back, because we kind of just like made friends with the people in our row, and we're just you know, like saving each other spots when we left and everything.
Nice.
So yeah, it was like such a pleasant experience and really beautiful view. And then again, I could see great, but then I also got some pretty cool videos because of my Zoom, my
that's
NASA technology.
Guys, that NASA fucking iPhone, I said it in past episodes, me and Megan both upgraded our phones at the same time. And we got the 16 Pro?
Yeah.
Right? And I'm telling you, worth it for the camera alone. Like, oh my God. So the footage, the photos and the videos you got were top tier. He looked really cute. Like, he started off wearing a hat, right?
He had this, like, really silly hat with, like, a little poof ball on the top of it. I don't know where it came from. He threw it into the crowd. So I don't think he really, like, cared too much about that hat. Not, like, that
Jesus.
One hat that he, like, wears all the time. And I think he would be, like, sad to, like, lose. But, like,
he loves that
somebody
hat.
Must have given him this hat. But, like, it was hot that day. So I totally understood the, like, tank top situation that night, like,
girl, those jeans were painted on.
He came out during Post Animal for that show, because when we saw him in Denver, he did not do that.
No,
so it was kind of like a, like, I think he did it most nights but not all nights, just basically
yeah.
depending on like his energy levels and stuff like that. So he
so
did come
he
out
last goodbye
and then two more songs with them, Dirt Picker and something else. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was fun. And he just, like, that night was just so fun. Like, he was on point.
A lot of energy.
For full. He had a great energy. He was just, like, he kept looking up in the balcony, like, and just, like, I think he was just in awe of, like, the crowd.
It was packed, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it was, like, everybody, even up in the balcony, was, like, singing along and, like, knew his music and stuff like that. So
I love his
that
reaction because
really cool.
It never gets old. He even said this in an interview. He was like, it never gets old just seeing like these massive crowds all singing along to words that I wrote. You know,
yeah.
He just seems really appreciative. But I've seen footage, especially the clips that you got, and he just seemed to have high energy and just really was loving it. So that must have been
yeah.
a really fun time.
And it was a huge stage too. And like, he was just like running all around the stage and like just... like it was interesting to then go to Philly and New York because those stages were much smaller. So it was
which
like,
one was the one that he dropped his mic?
That was the last show in New York. We'll get there.
We'll get there, baby doll. Well, I'm glad you had fun in DC. I actually mm-hmm. really like DC. I would definitely visit it again with you. You know, go to the mall, like food court. And you're
yeah,
like,
we
you're
were
an
pretty.
Idiot.
Yeah, we could see like the Washington Monument and everything when we drove in. And it, but I was like, I feel like I was just here. My friend was like, yeah, you were just here.
You
with
were.
Cece.
Yeah, you're taking Cece around. So, like, final thoughts of the show. Like, what was your overall verdict?
So it was just really cool to bring my friend who is like, you know, a real life friend, not like a friend I met online, but like, I love all of you guys, my online friends, but like,
yeah.
She I got her to start listening to his music to
look
like, to prepare for going to the show with me, right?
Yeah.
And she loves the Beatles, and so she,
oh, she
like,
probably loved that album.
Yeah, she loves the album so much, but she's funny because she really likes Roddy. Like, that's her favorite song,
that's
like, from 2020. And that was so great live. But she afterwards was like, I completely understand. It's so cool to just see that it's his story is so cool, right? That, like, these guys in his band are, like, his friends from when he was a kid and his friends
yeah.
from college. And, like, just like to see that they're like living out their dreams of like playing music together is
it just goes
awesome.
To show like first of all, like, what just a nice guy Joe Keery is. Like, he never lets it get to his head, and he knows where his roots are. So the fact that, you know, he was in college in this band, I mean, we've known 1,000 little indie bands that start in college, and, you know, they kind of, they play a few venues and never really takes off. Post Animal had their own following, you know, they're kind of like an underground band. And I love that he took them on tour with his band from Joe. And I love that that's giving Post Animal the exposure that they deserve. And just think about it. He's jamming out every night with his friends that are probably like family to him.
And they put on a fantastic show, and they invite you. They like, it's like they're inviting you into that experience with them, which is so cool. The crowd energy was great. I did hear that, like, there was some kind of like pushing and stuff going down on the floor. So like, I'm glad that we didn't like stay down there. But I know a lot of people got the barricade because the stage was so huge that there was so much room.
That's sick.
For people to be on the barricade. And I think that's why even when we got in there, there was still like kind of plenty of room because that floor was massive. Like, you thought Mission Ballroom was big. I think it was even bigger. Yeah.
Would you say DC was probably the biggest one you went to out of all of them?
I think so. Yeah. I think we looked up the capacity for those venues and DC was the biggest. And then Denver, then Philly. The New York show was one of the smallest venues, I think.
That's why there were multiple ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad that you had a lot of fun. I literally was like, this is incredible. First of all, cool ass city. And the fact that he was doing like kind of an East Coast thing, that's why I think eventually he will be hitting other states, but it all comes down to scheduling because we know a certain show is going to be released pretty soon.
Yeah.
But out of how many, what would I do with Joe? We're doing the crux. So out of how many crux keys, 1 out of 5, 5 being the best, how would you rate DC?
Ooh, 4.
4?
Maybe 4.5.
Look at that. Mm-hmm. I love that. So that Friday, he did Boston. And from the very start when he announced this tour, as we all know, I am from Massachusetts. Joe is from Massachusetts. I am from Methuen. He is from Newburyport. Apples and oranges.
They're neighbors.
But, yeah, we're neighbors, you know. And I've been to Newburyport a ton of times. It's a beautiful, beautiful town. But I was like, this is going to be a fun one because clearly he's probably going to have friends and family there, which he did. Unfortunately, I was going through some issues with kidney stones. Long story short, it sucked and I was white knuckling it. Luckily, our friends Rachel, Andy, and Brandy came down. Rachel from San Francisco, Andy and Brandy from Philly.
Not down, up and over.
Up, but down, across, sideways, zigzags. But they came and they had to watch me literally like passing a stone in my living room and it was fucking horrific. Like Quinn's just laying on me and they're like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. But my friends Casey and Jeanette came from New York because I was like, guys, you have to experience this. So it was really cool. You know, I definitely missed you, Megan, but I know with scheduling, it just wouldn't work. But I was with a lot of really great friends and they were just, I hate getting a fuss made over me. I get like really embarrassed. I really hate focus on me, which is kind of weird with my personality, but they knew I was in pain. Later on, they were like, you looked like you were going to drop, like you were white as a sheet. And, you know, it was tough. Anybody who's gone through kidney stones, I have a very high pain threshold. But my family has a lot of kidney issues. I luckily was just passing stones and I had a really bad infection, which I think had just started with COVID. And it was just a domino effect. But I was like, I'm going to probably hang more back, which we all did. We were kind of near the bar in the back. It was called the Roadrunner. I had never been to it. Really big venue. The layout was really good, but it was packed. So we all kind of like stayed in the back at first. Yet again, NASA camera came in clutch. It was great. And we ended up realizing that there's kind of like where the stairs were the entrance. It was almost like lifted up like a platform. So we got a better view and it was more like people weren't as crowded. I was bummed out. There were a bunch of people that I wanted to see. Alexis from Epic, you know, Rachel. There were a bunch of people I wanted to see. But guys, I apologize. I was passing kidney stones and I was white knuckling it through the show. But it was such a great time. He wore his Aerosmith shirt, which I thought was great. He wore that during Laneway, and Aerosmith is from Massachusetts, and he had his Red Sox cap. So I was like, he's representing. His energy was really high and stuff. I will always say my favorite part of the show, besides Figure You Out, is the opening. He played with Post Animal, which was great. It was funny at one point, like it was kind of like in between Post Animal and the show where he's playing like, you know, Kenny Rogers and stuff. And then Jolene came on by Dolly Parton. My friend Jeanette turned and she goes, that's going to be the twist. The big reveal is Dolly Parton is on stage, does a duet with Joe. And I was like, yeah, they do. I will always love you. But he's the Dolly Parton part. She's the Burt Reynolds part. So we were just like, I was having a breakdown through the pain. So I was just cracking jokes.
Have a seat where you sit?
No, we were standing. But they're pumping the air and stuff. I wasn't drinking. I was the only one that was like, nah, dude, I'm good. But literally it was just so funny. Jeanette was like, come on, Joe, get on stage. We're almost 40. So a lot of laughs and stuff. They were doing the woo, 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 woo.
Yeah.
And Rachel is like, she gets all my really bizarre references, but there was this talk
this
show.
This is Rachel, our friend from California. Yeah.
Exactly. And she just has the best sense of humor. And there was this talk show back in the 90s called the Arsenio Hall, who was an actor, and he was the host. And their big thing was they'd go, woo, 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 YouTube it. It's hilarious. So she turns towards me and she goes, are they doing like the Arsenio Hall woof? And I'm like, oh my God, you're right. So fucking dying. But it was like, we were cracking a lot of jokes. It was really funny. It was really cute because one of my coworkers, a teacher, a second grade teacher, whose name is Caroline, she was further up front and she kind of was giving me the tea the following Monday. She said 4 people passed out due to the heat. And guys, when you are on the floor, it is packed and it gets hot, body heat. And luckily, and I got it on camera at first, I thought somebody tripped, but he started Chateau, which as we know with the pulsing heartbeat and the red and the blue, so well done. And then he just stops and he's like, hold on. And he right away made sure the medic got water to the person and stuff. And he even said, he was like, let's wait a minute and stuff, just to show you that like, even as he's performing, he's looking out for his fans. They're passing out water. They're very accommodating. But Caroline said that, like, it was intense. It was hot, you know? And like I said, I'm a prime person. Listen to your body. Uh-huh. But I guess his parents were there and his sisters. And if you watch the footage of him doing End of Beginning, when he goes, enter Caroline, he motions to her. And I guess she was crying her eyes out. And they said that the twins were, you know, his twin sisters were dancing and living it up. And his parents just looked really proud. I didn't see them because I was so far back. But Caroline said that it was really sweet. He had a lot of friends and family there and stuff. And it was kind of like a full circle moment. It was really, really cute. She said she looked up on the balcony and people were dancing their asses off. Like, just a really good vibe. Nobody was, as far as I know, being assholes. Even though it was packed, it had a really great vibe. He had a lot of fun. You know, he played Figure You Out. Right away, I was like, yes, like, yeah. It was just a lot of fun. But towards the end, Casey and Jeanette ended up leaving a little early because they had to hit the road. They had work the next day. I'm like, good luck, guys. And it was around that time in my head, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it to Philly, because the plan was we were all going to jump in the car at 5 a.m., and Indy was going to drive us to Philly and I was going to fly back. But the pain was getting pretty bad. And Andy was being really sweet. He was looking at me and he was like, are you okay? Do you need to sit down? Do you need water? And I'm like, no, I'm fine. As soon as they started Flash Mountain, we all kind of looked at each other and we're like, the ice sculpture has melted. It is time to leave the party. So we left before like everybody poured out and stuff. Parking wasn't bad. It was only $20, which in downtown Boston, like, holy shit. But everyone was being really sweet. I had gotten, for merch, I actually got the poster. And I got a Post Animal poster and one for our friend Eli. And at the Denver show, I got us keychains and socks. So I was like, okay, cool. We ended up getting into the car. And that night, it sucked, but I ended up making the really hard decision. I was like, I might have to go to the hospital. I'm not doing too good. I think I'm going to bow out of Philly. Ripped my heart out, but luckily you guys were all awesome checking in on me and stuff. I'm good now. I'm on the mend. It was just a really hard decision to make, but after talking to my doctor, I definitely made the right decision and I'm good now. But you guys took so many great photos and stuff, sending videos. You know, Megan was checking in on me and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was nice to see, like, I didn't feel alone at all. I know I made the right decision, but I'm really glad I white-knuckled it, even though my doctor wasn't too happy with Boston, because, you know, when I talked to Joe at the Upside Down Con, I kind of was like, oh, I'm from Mass too. And it's just, it's really nice to see people from this state go on and be successful and stuff. And, you know, he's just pure serotonin. And it was so much fun to see him just running around, having a great time with the guys. They did a beautiful job. And out of Crux Keys, I got to be honest, like, Denver was amazing. But Boston, despite the pain, that's 4.0 or 4.5. I don't fucking know. Crux Keys. Boston was incredible. And if he ever plays Boston again, I'd definitely go.
Yeah, I'm so, so glad that you got to do that, because it was like your hometown show, and that's the connection that you have with him. And it sounds like it was just a really special night for him. And
yeah, he had his family there. You know, he ended up posting, like, I guess his dad was kind of like trying to feel out what he should do for an encore. He mentioned gasoline, unfortunately did not happen, but then he mentioned egg. And he was like, I know this is kind of green, like new. You're not really like that comfortable yet because you haven't been playing it. He did it for a few sound checks at previous shows. So as soon as they started playing it, I know Megan so well, I literally, my eyes widened. I went, egg, Megan. And I knew not to take video because I was like, she's going to be at the Philly show. And I had a feeling he was going to play it again. So I just texted her and I was like, he's fucking playing egg. So it was cool that I was there when he kind of premiered that song.
Yeah.
Just really, really cool. And then he did a shout out. He was like, guys, I'm from, you know, Massachusetts. And he talked about going to the Guitar Center with his friend in Danvers, which is actually the town my parents lived in. I know I've said this before. They are known for the Danvers State Mental Hospital. That's what that town is known for. Movies have been shot there, Session 9. And I always go, oh, my parents, they met at Danvers State Mental Hospital. And then I always pause to gauge the person's reaction because I'm a goblin. And then I go, she was a nurse, he was an orderly. And they're like, oh, cool, cool. But just really cool to hear him make all these references and stuff. And definitely, Megan, if he does Boston again, we're fucking going, dude.
Yeah, I guess it's because it just sucks. I don't understand the whole DC all the way up to Boston and then back down to Philly. Come on, that seems a little bit out of the way. But
ADHD got me like.
Yeah, I think it's just how like tour planning goes. You can't always control that. But yeah, again, so glad you had that experience. So glad that he played Egg that night, because we talked about at the Denver show how I was kind of disappointed that he hadn't played it yet. And I was like trying to just tell myself I wasn't going to hear it because it's my favorite song on the album. And then when he played it in Boston, I was excited, but also like, I hope this isn't a one-time thing, because that would have broken my heart. So I was being very dramatic about it, but
you're adorable.
Spoiler alert. I got to hear it. So
you got it. Philly was the next day. Rachel, Andy, and Brandy, they checked in on me. And I was like, nah, dude, can't do it. Sorry. And it broke my heart. But they got into the car. They left early. But I felt like I was physically there because you guys were just checking in and texting me so much. But I love that, you know, Philly was the next show. What was the name of that venue?
Franklin Music Hall.
Which back in Denver, after I was like, well, I can't handle the floor, I kind of had a coming to Jesus moment. I went, Megan, I don't want my VIP ticket, because that was the only ticket I could get for Philly. And I basically went, like, we're doing pay it forward here, you know, where I was like, you know what? You're going to use it and you're going to get close. You're going to try to do Barricade. And I want you to do that. So I gave you the VIP ticket and you got Barricade.
I did.
Tell us about that.
Well, I feel like we need to like put a like content warning on this episode for like health issues, but also like pet issues and loss, because that was that weekend was really, really hard. So that Friday night while you were at the Boston show, I was kind of like having to deal with some my cat had been sick for a few weeks, and he got really bad that night. So I was like laying in bed crying, and like also like I was like, oh,
it's your baby.
He played egg. Like I was like crying about egg, but like it was really not about that. Like I was just emotional about like everything.
You were going through it.
So yeah. I made the decision that night to like have Charlie put down in a couple. I knew it was going to be that weekend. So that was really tough because I was like going through that Friday night. I was actually supposed to work on Saturday morning, but since I was like up half the night with Charlie, I did not
go
to work.
How old was Charlie?
He was 13. So
I was honored when I, you know, we did Denver. I spent the night at your house in Maryland. That cat was a sweetheart. While watching Across the Universe, he was snuggling with me. And usually like cats don't like me. I don't know. I smell like Quinn. And he was just a little sweetheart. So I am honored that I got to hang out with him a little
bit. I joked when Stacy was there that it was like a cat hospice at that time. Like,
yeah, it was kind of those vibes. We took him outside, you know. Yeah. Leia was really enjoying herself. But it was nice that we were able to make those memories. But that was a hard weekend for you. But I'm proud of you that you did go to the Philly show and try to do something to take your mind off.
Yeah, so I didn't end up going to work. And I got to Philly and we had traded the VIP tickets and I was so grateful for that. Like, and I got in line with Kelly and, some other people that I met for the first time that day. So shout out Mandy and Amanda and, Betsy. They were amazing. They had been to like a bunch of shows and that was their last show of the tour. And I met some other really fun people in line too. It was hot though. And the way they did VIP for the entire tour, they did not do it like that for that tour. So everybody who had VIP did not get to get wristbands like they did at the other shows. So
damn.
We just had to be in line all day until doors opened.
Hell no.
So the sun was like blaring down. I
would have
just
gotten such
kind of,
a bad sunburn.
I did get sun on my face. There was a Target. So we were like walking to Target to like go to the bathroom and get water and stuff. And I had like two Alanis that day because I had like barely slept that night. So I was like trying to like keep my energy up. And just like it was, I was emotional, but like it was good that I got out of the house and got my mind off of it. Because it ended up being actually the next day that we had Charlie put down. So
we dedicate this episode to Charlie.
Yeah, he was my buddy and I miss him so much. And that was like one of the hardest things that I've ever done. But I don't want to spend too long talking about that. But
I get it. But, you know, episode is dedicated to Charlie. And I'm glad that the night before, because he would have wanted you to. I'm sure he was a Joe fan, that you were able to experience Philly because from what I saw, he put on a hell of a show.
Yes. So the show was incredible. The energy at that show, it was my favorite of the tour.
Tell me about Barricade.
I don't even know how to describe.
I know
what
you
it's
did
like.
It, man.
I mean, I have other like concerts that I've gone to and I enjoy, and I knew I enjoy being in the front because it's like you obviously you have like that as close as possible connection. And you don't have as many people around you, and that's like part of the thing at a concert when you're on the floor with like people surrounding you. At least like in front of you is like you can lean on the barricade, but it's also open so you don't feel as claustrophobic. Nobody was pushing at that show. It was very comfortable.
I like that the etiquette was good.
I mean, from where I was, it seemed like that was pretty great. And I know we had other friends that we knew that were further back and they seemed to have a great time and not have a lot of issues either. So, and I did get to see a couple people at that show because we were in line all day. So people kind of just came over and said hi. So I saw Jen, which was great. And I saw after the show, Tracy and Jalen. Tracy and Jalen, they gave me some friendship bracelets. There was some for you too, so that
was
really sweet. And I wore a bunch of those to the New York shows, which was really fun too. But
that's awesome.
So let's see. I just it's like beyond words. Like, we were there and he was right there, and it was just, we were like in the music, and like,
and he seems like somebody who's very interactive with his crowds. Like, we already know the intense eye contact. I can't tell you how many people were like, it looked like he was locking eyes on me. You could be a mile away. You could be at the barricade. You could be in the balcony.
Yeah.
But he seems like he's so appreciative, and he does, like, he puts on a hell of a show.
Yeah.
Like, this man is a showman. Like, you can tell that this is his passion.
I joked that, like, in Boston, he had a lot of friends and family. In New York, he had friends and family there. In Philly, I don't think he had many family members there.
He let his freak flag fly, because I noticed, as we know, Joe, he sways those hips and does a lot of shit. He behaved himself at the Boston show, and everybody was joking. They were like, yeah, that'd be kind of awkward. You got your parents and your sisters there. But Philly, I feel like he was like, team fuck it, you know, and he just really put on a show for you
guys. Yeah, it was amazing. And I can't even remember what he was wearing when he came out with Post Animal, maybe like a sweater or something. And then, but he just had like a nice shirt on, like a button-up shirt. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
he looked great and put on a show. There was like this like box thing, like in front of the stage that he came out on. So he was like right in front of us,
right on top of you guys. Yeah,
we got a nice little moment, like when he looked over and smiled during "Lonesome is a State of Mind." Like, just incredible. It was just so much fun. And
I know, I'm looking up pictures now. It looked like he was having a fucking blast.
Yeah. And just hanging out with Kelly and Mandy and Amanda at the barricade was really fun. And getting to know Mandy was awesome, because she's just like me with like the concert addiction.
Yep.
So I'm so here for it. Yeah, that was a really fun show. And again, like,
how many keys would you give it?
Needed 10.
10 Crux keys. I love that. Now, you must have, like, how did you feel emotionally, without getting too sappy, when he started playing Egg?
Gosh. So I don't even know.
See, it's beyond words.
It is. It's beyond words. It's like the I don't know that I like cried tears, but it was close.
Yeah.
And I think I was just like, I wasn't crying because I was just too amped on like energy drinks.
True.
But I was just like overwhelmed. Like, I was like, this is happening. And I believe that was his best performance of Egg on
the
tour.
Yeah, because I feel like Boston, it was beautiful, but it was the first time he was playing it. Mm-hmm. So he was a little nervous. But then when he did Philly, I think he was more comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And I made this joke to Megan, because I was kind of down in the dumps, but I said, if he plays Figure You Out, which, you know, the likelihood was pretty high, I was like, that's my little psychic way of saying hi to you. So as soon as I found out he played Egg and Figure You Out, I was like, full circle.
Yeah.
Love that.
I just needed it so much. And
yeah,
I feel like it's a very personal song for him. And
yeah,
it's putting a lot out there to perform that live. And I'm just so grateful that he decided to do that, because it was amazing. And it goes so hard live. Like, it's the
something about live music, dude. I'm telling you.
Yeah. And just that song is so raw and full of emotion. He basically like has his eyes closed the entire time he's like performing it, almost, because it's just
telling,
like,
a story.
Yeah,
you know, this was his most personal album and stuff, and he's just, you know, with his friends, and he's just seems so appreciative. And I always, like, without sounding too woo-woo, we not only got to meet him at Upside Down Con, but we got to see him perform at multiple shows, like, beyond fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But just, he is the nicest guy ever, and just seeing him do something so personal and passionate, it's an experience, guys. I couldn't recommend it enough.
Yeah. Go see him if you can. It's worth it.
Later that week, I know you had a very hard Sunday, honey, but yeah. When was your New York show?
So Tuesday and Wednesday, I went to New York. So there was a Monday show that I was not at. It looked like it was a blast. He had this backwards baseball cap.
I was living for those photos.
Yeah, and that red jacket. Like, he looks great in red.
He does.
So I got to go up on Tuesday, and I went and stayed with our friend Juan. And
shout out Juan.
Yeah, I got to tell him all about Denver before the Denver episode even came out. So that was great.
Fucking mess, yeah.
But he lives in Brooklyn, but like Brooklyn is a big place. Like
it is. Yeah.
So like he did not actually live very close to the venue, but it actually just worked out really great. So I parked my car in a garage that was near his place of work. We took the subway back to his apartment, and I've stayed with him before. He's such a great host, and I am so grateful that I was able to stay with him. But then we got ready and went to the show. We took an Uber, and we had Quick Pass, which was great because
we highly recommend.
Yeah, we got there, and literally we got there like maybe 15 minutes before the doors open and just got in the Quick Pass line. And the Quick Pass line was pretty long too, because they were just letting people like buy Quick Pass on the spot and just stand in this shorter line.
That's incredible.
Like we got in and we were very similar on the floor to like our Denver show. So maybe like 10 rows back or whatever, but like front and like center, like, so just like straight shot.
That's nice.
Yeah. So it was a good view, and we didn't have, there was some tall people in front of us, and then they ended up like leaving, and I was like,
hell yeah,
we lucked out. So it was a great view, and I just like, you know, was just trying to like keep my little bubble that I have to make. I was teaching Juan about making a bubble for yourself.
You slay me.
So I stayed like pretty comfy. There were like people trying to get closer, you know, but like that's going to be at any show, and everybody was around us was pretty polite and everything like that.
That's
so
good.
That
I'm
was good.
Happy about that.
Yeah.
Now, which out of, because he looked like he put on a hell of a show, which night did you like best?
Well, for Brooklyn, it's hard because I was on Barricade the last night. So
yeah, you were.
It's hard to not enjoy that most. But it was really fun to be with Juan, because for the one that I had VIP for, Juan went to the show with me, but he was not standing with me because he didn't also have VIP. So that night, Tuesday night was really fun because I was with Juan, and we had a great view. It was a great show, good energy.
Love that.
Again, the Brooklyn crowd was doing that barking thing, and it got
I noticed that.
Yeah, it got worse the second night, but it wasn't too bad that night.
Didn't he like take his sweater off, and then he was like, "You guys are depraved," or he said something.
Yes,
like,
he took his sweater off.
He was into it in Boston, I'll tell you that.
And he said something. Juan got it on video. He said something like, he did say that we were depraved, because that was my joke the next night at the Barricade. I was like, guys, we need to be behaved, not depraved.
There you go. See? Lessons. Forever lessons.
But then he told Javi to take his shirt off. So
he seemed like he was being playful with the guys. And like, it's so funny because like, you know, you see like poor guy like tripping over the cables, because he's like golden retriever energy. He's running around having the time of his life. But you said the second night there was a lot of liquid, wink wink, spilling all over the place.
Oh, that was like every night basically he was pouring.
I just love that there was that
himself.
Interview where he's sitting on the couch, his latest interview on a podcast, and I, like, he has like nine different like beverages, you know? And it was just so funny. He, like, it reminded me of the little girl from the movie Signs who leaves all the half drink glasses of water. And he's like, it has his Anibas in it. Literally, like, him with the open containers of tea. I'm like, baby doll, we know this is your first tour. Because I guess he, like, spilled one on his keyboard and didn't even notice.
Yeah, that was that night, but I didn't notice either, because it was all, like, I was kind of far away. But he, spilled his mug of tea, and then this Monica that I met the next night, she was up there at the barricade and, like, pointed it out to Javi, and, like, somebody came over and, like, cleaned it up, like, all while he just continued performing.
like that's one thing I have to say, because I know in Toronto, like, I guess he flubbed his, like, lyrics a little bit, but the crowd, our friend Haley, shout out Haley, like, she said, like, the crowd just continued singing, and he was like, yeah, you guys got it. Like, it's almost like he just lets it roll off his back he's so into it.
Yes, and I mean, I'm sure he overthinks it. He said that in an interview, that when things like that go wrong, like, he definitely overthinks it and kind of beats himself up about it. But it's also, like, those are the moments that make live music memorable and fun.
So much fun.
Because it's like, it can't always be perfect and polished.
Exactly. He's extremely talented. Yeah. Like, but literally, I love that he's just like us. Like, he's clumsy. He's all over the place, scatterbrained. And just seeing him play the piano with the, like, three or four open things of tea. You said some actually splashed on you guys. I made a joke.
I'll get to I'm trying to go in order. I'll talk about Brooklyn the last
night. You're like, 1 minute, Casey.
One show at a time.
Not like you guys were on a Universal ride. Like, I just love that, like, I saw the footage of him dropping his microphone, and, like,
that was the last night too.
He didn't even skip a beat.
All right, like, so let me talk about the last night.
Let me go in order, okay. Stace.
So it was really fun, because after we left the show, we ended up finding this, like, pizza place where they did dollar slices.
Shut up.
Because it's, like, just the leftovers from that day that they're trying to get rid of. So
my heaven.
Yeah, it was so good. And, like,
you were living your best,
really,
quiet,
hadn't
please,
eaten
life.
Much that day. So it was, like, tasted amazing.
I love that.
The next day, this was, like, my big day, basically, because I had VIP, but I wanted to make sure that I got barricade.
Bitch, you were in line. I texted you, like, at 7 in the morning.
I got in line before 7 in the morning.
You're like, I'm in line. Yeah. And I'm like,
yeah. So I went home, slept for, like, 5 hours, and got up and left and went and got in line. So I was the 7th person in line. There were already 6 people there in front of me. So, and
wow.
I got there at, like, 6:40 a.m. So it was
no judgment.
It was a long day. It was beautiful that day. Like, it got a little warmer later, but, like, we were in the shade and it was, like, cool, like, almost chilly. I was wearing my long sleeve Joe Crux t-shirt that I bought in Philly.
You wore the t-shirt to see the guy performing. You were that
I
guy.
Didn't wear it for the performance. I wore it to stand in line. Like,
costume changes, yeah. Guys. She had multiple outfits.
Because at that show, we only had to stay until 1 p.m. when we got our wristbands.
Okay.
Because that's how they did VIP. They gave out wristbands.
So then you could leave.
Then I could leave and come back.
And when you came back, like, you were number 7, lucky 7.
Correct.
You were able to get in line.
I was still number
7.
When
that's
I came back.
That's a good system. Yeah. I like that.
And everybody that was in line with me that day was so sweet. I actually saw Rachel. I saw Bree, who is the owner of the Boom Mail shop that you love so much. Haley, who I knew from, like, a Facebook group already, who was at the convention. This girl, Monica, that I met, who I love. She was amazing. So I feel like it was funny because I, like, knew some people already that ended up, like, right with me in line. And I also met some really cool new people. And we all just kind of, like, saved our spots for each other. Like, we were able to walk to the coffee shop, go to the bathroom, get some coffee, come back. Like, some people, like, DoorDashed, like, Dunkin' to the line. It was
hilarious.
Amazing. But it was
power move.
It was, I mean, I guess I was there 6 hours, and from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. And it just, it went by quickly and it was very pleasant. Like,
and you're hanging out with friends and you're hyped. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and we were just sitting on the ground. It wasn't like we were standing in line. Like, I brought like a little sheet to sit on. So,
you're adorable.
Yeah. So it was a night. It was nice. It was a fun time. And then, so I had taken an Uber there in the morning, but like the Uber from Juan's to the venue was like $45.
Holy fucking shit.
Almost $50. Like, so we had taken an Uber there and back the night before. We each paid one way, and I took an Uber to the venue in the morning first thing, but then I was like, I gotta take the subway. I can't spend $100 right now to take two more Ubers. Like so
ridiculous.
I figured out
that was
the subway. And the thing was, the Uber wasn't even gonna be that much faster because of all the traffic. So
exactly.
So I figured out the subway on my own, which I was really proud of myself, to get back to his apartment.
Look at her.
And he had lunch there waiting for me when I got there.
What? You goddamn sweetheart. I can't.
I know. So that was perfect. And I like took a shower, changed, and got like didn't wear the merch to the show.
You were that guy.
And then we went back. And we actually took the subway again back because I was like, I was like looking at it. It's like, there's so much traffic. Let's just take the subway, save money.
Yeah.
And we'll take an Uber home tonight. Like, so
I think that was the right move, honestly.
Yeah. I didn't have a ton of time to just like go back and relax, but like it was enough time to go back, eat, shower, change.
I think that's a good system.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, then when we got back, I still had to like wait a little while because like I got there, then we went in, but then they kept us like in the lobby of the place like before they opened the doors to like actually go up to the stage.
Does the VIP thing work? Like, do you get into the venue and they just hand you the perks, like the merch,
the
that
bag?
You guys got?
Yeah, yeah. So when we when we went in, they just we already had our wristbands, so they didn't have to check our tickets again. But then we just got our bags and then just went, and we stayed in our number order all the way up until like walking through the doors to go into the venue.
And
so,
did you get barricaded? You got barricaded.
Yeah,
right?
It was still a little. That was the most anxiety inducing thing, just because everybody, they open the doors and then it's just a little bit of a free for all. So it was like,
it's still the Hunger Games. Yeah,
yeah. It was still a little bit like the Hunger Games when we got in and had to like get our spots on the barricade. We were talking about how we wished they would let us in, like let the first 10 in and then let the next 10 in, at least for the first like 20
just
or
saying,
30
yeah.
people, just so it wasn't as like crazy, like getting in. But there was, I think the first 25 people in line got the barricade basically, so that was that was great. And then again, it was very pleasant. Everybody was friendly around me, and it was mostly the people that I had been in line with all day that I was like standing
good
with.
Company.
And then the people behind me and everything, there was like nobody was pushing or trying to get up further, so
good.
Yeah, it was great. And it was just, again, he put on a great show. There was, remember how in the Denver episode we talked about how there was nobody screaming like drunkenly at like inappropriate moments? Like,
yeah.
There was a couple of those, but it was really funny. At the one time, I think he was like, it might have been like the end of Figure You Out or something, and somebody screamed, and then everybody else is just like, shh.
Good.
It was just kind of funny to listen to the rest of the crowd just like shushing that person.
I can't. Don't be that guy, guys. You know, don't be that guy.
But he dropped his mic during Gloom. He like spilled his tea water or whatever again, and then like splashed it on us in the front row. But
you
like
an experience. I love that you sent me the clip of him dropping the mic because you know my humor. I like pissed myself laughing at that, you know, but
so
he was pro.
I think it was intense energy, but like it made it just so much fun. Like
it just makes it
real and memorable. And like you went through something with him. Like
exactly. Yep.
So,
how many Crux keys would you give it?
Five, like a solid five.
Nice.
Yeah.
Could you have the post-concert, like, blues?
Yeah, I'm trying to just kind of, like, continue to, like, watch my videos, which has been really fun because I feel like, especially my Brooklyn Night 2 videos, I haven't watched that much because since I did two back-to-back, I didn't really have a lot of time to, like, digest Brooklyn Night 2 before Brooklyn Night 3 was already happening. So it's fun to like go back and just watch the videos and like catch little moments that I forgot about.
Yeah, you got a lot of great stuff.
Yeah. And then it's just we already have like our shows planned that we're going to in the fall. So it's always like
festivals.
Easier to like you're not as sad if you like know that there's more shows coming.
You get stuff to look forward to. Yeah. Now you actually you got a ticket for Hotlanta, right?
Yes. Yeah. So we together are hopefully doing the Connecticut Soundside Festival and all things go in DC, which those should be really fun.
I'm excited. Kesha and, you know, the Killers. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Killers. That's going to be amazing. And then Kesha,
singing
Doshi.
Mr. Brightside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
You were playing Doshi for me in your car.
Yeah.
She's schooling me because she knows I have no fucking clue. So,
yeah.
Great.
Those festivals are going to be amazing. And then, like, a couple days later, he's doing his another bite tour. So I got tickets for Atlanta, which is going to be epic. There's going to be so many people, I think, that we know in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to really make an effort to, like, see more people when I'm there because like you were saying it's hard to see people at concerts like
it's not like a convention
no like you are there for the music and you end up like just being with the people that are around you and it's like hard to kind of like coordinate seeing other people
it's hard to hear people like I get it but
I'll have to
definitely
see,
send my love
I'll have to see what happens in Atlanta but I want to try to like have some sort of like opportunity to meet people that I know that are going but then today I realized this is really Eli's fault because they told us when we recorded with them that there were still VIP tickets for Kansas,
fucking eyes lit
Kansas
up, guys.
City. Because the thing is, like, we're going to these festivals. We just have lawn for All Things Go, so we won't even be able to go up to the stage. Now, Soundside, I feel like there's the potential to try to get up to the front for Joe at Soundside, but it's like it's not a given, like, because it's going to be a huge festival. So I don't even know how that would work. But then Atlanta, I don't have VIP. And like I was going back and forth about whether I wanted to try to get it. But then when I bought tickets, they were almost sold out for GA when I bought them, too. So I definitely didn't get VIP. But then apparently there were still VIP tickets for Kansas City. And Kansas City was another show that I was considering. I've been to Kansas City a couple times. It's a really great city. So I just wanted like to be able to have that opportunity to be in the front again for a show. It's an outdoor show too.
Ooh.
So it's going to be like a lot of outdoor because the festivals are outside, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then Atlanta will be inside.
Crown.
Yeah, so I'm super excited now. And Mandy bought a ticket for Kansas City too. So I'll at least know at least one person
there.
Girl,
take all the photos.
Yeah.
Report back.
Super excited. So yeah, so that's our
like I said,
Joe recap.
This tour was, we both feel so fortunate that we were able to go to multiple shows. We know like some people, you know, they can't get to, you know, see him perform, but hopefully he hits more states. I think he will, like right now, I think he's focusing on the music and, you know, obviously he's going to have to take time to do a press tour for Stranger Things, but I cannot recommend, guys, and I'm not a big concert person, but I cannot recommend enough. If you do get the chance to see him perform, do it. Because it's just pure magic. Like, this man makes sure you get your money's worth. So the tour in general, 5 crux keys, like, times 1,000.
Yeah. So it was just, very cool to be able to experience that.
So I got some questions for you, Megan, about the tour.
Okay.
Number 1, top 3 favorite moments attending the tour.
I was supposed to prepare answers for this, and I definitely didn't.
That's Megan coded. It's okay.
So we're doing this on the fly.
Off the fly. Yeah.
Just top of my mind, top three favorite moments. So one would be when he smiled at us when he was singing Lonesome is a State of Mind.
Yep, that's a good one.
Because so I'm like, I was showing my brother's girlfriend some videos from the tour, and for that one, and my mom was sitting right there, and for that one, she was like, that was like an acknowledging smile. And my mom was like, don't encourage her.
Yep, right away, your eyes just light up. Right away. He's like, that's the girl that kept saying, I'll see you at the ice cream social.
Exactly.
You knew.
So that was pretty special. And it was just like, that was at the Philly show when we were at the Barricade. And it was just like, it was just a definitely
magic.
special moment. One of those little like highlights. But another one, I'm saving my third one because I have my favorite.
Got you.
I want to say like back in Denver, actually, when he played Potion and I got to hear that live for the first time.
Beautiful. Yeah,
like,
beautiful.
That was my favorite performance of Potion, too, because I don't know, I heard it a few more times, obviously, but I feel like there was something special about the energy during that song in Denver.
I agree.
And then my favorite moment was in New York at the Barricade, Brooklyn Night 3. He's singing Chateau, and
oh, girl,
I like that song, but now after seeing him perform it, there is something special about that song, and he has a good time performing it. And like, he just got a little freaky in his own words.
You know, I have to give him credit. Like, we know that it was a love song that he wrote for his ex, and it's beautiful. It tells a story.
Yeah.
And I love that he's taking something that he wrote for, you know, a certain time in his life, and he's flipping it now. You know, I love that he goes, like, this is a love song. This is for anybody who's, you know, in love. And he's turned something that maybe brought him pain at one point into this beautiful thing now. And now he's like, oh no, this is a love song for all of you, my audience, my fans.
Yeah.
And it's just so into it.
And you feel it. Like, you feel like he is singing this to you in the audience. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, just, it was fantastic. There was a little,
quote Megan, it's delicious.
Yes. I want to eat it. There was some tongue action. There was a lot of tongue action the entire tour, but like that moment, and I was like recording, and I was like, I can't believe I just got that on camera.
Ooh, you know what? We're gonna go over that. All right, here we go. Here's a fun one.
Okay,
top three outfits that Joe wore, even if it's at shows you didn't attend.
Okay, I'll do shows that I did attend, and then I want to hear your outfits just in general too.
Got you.
So, camo tank top, that's number one.
Oh, yeah. Big one.
That's number one. I really loved the Brooklyn Night 3 when I was at the Barricade. He had on like nice jeans, I think, and this like pinstriped nice shirt that was like ended up like rolled up at the sleeves. The front was open.
It sure was.
A lot going on
there. Wearing his little crucifix and looking for you.
Yeah. So that was very religious.
It was a religious experience, yeah.
And then Brooklyn Night 2, before he took it off, he was wearing this like yellow sweater. And I was like,
you love him in yellow.
I love him in yellow. So that was great. Those are my top three.
Whew. I mean, I loved the plaid button-up that he wore to his first Brooklyn show.
Mm-hmm.
The footage of him singing Gasoline wearing that top tier. Then, I don't know, it might have been Arizona or California. He wore this like black, almost like crop top. And when he performed Fool, it was riding up, and it was beautiful. And I really did like the Denver look a lot, but I have to say Boston just simply because, like, you know, he planned that out. He was like, I'm going to wear my Aerosmith shirt, my Boston cap.
Uh-huh.
So it was just really cute seeing him wear that. But he looked incredible. There was one night where he wore, like, this red shirt, and it just,
Yeah.
So he looked really good. I loved him wearing the multiple hats and stuff, and his hair just is beautiful. I know everyone's sick of talking about his hair, but it is beautiful. That man is pretty. He's, you know, he's pretty.
He's a good-looking guy.
He's a good-looking guy.
And I liked how he had, like, multiple kind of, like, outfit changes, because a lot of the times he would come out in something for Post Animal, but then he would change before
like a
his
jacket
set,
or sweater,
but then he
yep.
would also usually wear like a jacket or sweater and then like take it off halfway through. A lot of times he started with the hat on and ended up taking
yep.
it off.
My ultimate favorite was the New York show you weren't at with that red jacket. It was like a vintage jacket, him in blue and red, like I feel like Jennifer Coolidge in Legally Blonde. Like, you know, you look like the 4th of July. It makes me want to eat a hot dog. Like, that's the energy he was giving off, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Woo!
All
right, here's a really good one, Megan. Okay. I think you'll like this. Favorite, like, chill, total chill moment that you were like, oh my God, this is happening.
Egg in Philly. That was an easy one. Yeah, yeah. That was...
I'm so glad he played that.
That was something.
But it was personal, too.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It was played just at the right time for you. Favorite performance of End to Beginning?
I think they were all very good. And it was very, very powerful to see that live. And I talked about that on our episode when we talked about Denver. And I think maybe Denver was one of my favorites just because it was the first time I got to hear it live.
It was beautiful.
But also my last show, Brooklyn Night 3, one of my friends on Instagram pointed out that he kind of sang part of it a little bit different, and it was very it was very powerful and like emotional, and I don't have it on video, but they've sent me a couple videos that they found of him singing that part. So I'll have to send it to you. But like
him just hitting those notes and like kind of like prolonging it. Like he did these little twists, like he definitely did it with Figure You Out, but him just hitting that high note in End of Beginning.
There was a couple like almost screams in End of Beginning. There was also like a yell in Chateau that he was doing that was really cool. Just like those like emotional moments, like where you can really tell that he is feeling the music and like it draws the audience in. So
yeah. No, I agree. I would say my favorite was Boston for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Like when he did Back on You, he motioned again to his family, which was beautiful. But him just kind of smiling and, you know, kind of motioning to Caroline, it was sweet. It was beautiful.
We also had some questions from people on Instagram. So a lot of these I feel like we've kind of touched on, but we can go through and talk about the ones that we haven't. So some people were asking about memorable moments. I feel like we've covered that. Brandy did ask me which song made me tingle, and I think I covered that already too.
You sure did.
This was a good question though, and I have a really good answer, but I'll ask it to you first.
Okay.
So Mandy wanted to know, is there a song you changed your opinion on once you saw it live?
I would say maybe Potion, to be completely honest.
Okay.
I really liked it. It was very cute and stuff, but at the time I was more hyped up with Basic and Delete Ya, which he was like getting hyped the fuck up with Delete Ya. Like you could tell there were a bunch of scorned men in that crowd because they were like jumping up and down, getting into it. But Potion, I was like, that's cute, you know, but after hearing an entire audience at this packed venue that holds like 2,000 people singing it together with him, that definitely changed my mind.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah. I have to say Chateau, which I kind of touched on already, because I just love it even more now than I did before. Roddy was another one from 2020.
Very
that
well done.
I think is a fantastic live song, and just the energy of that and that like bridge and that ending part where it almost sounds like a completely different song. Like,
yeah,
that was so much fun. So I think it would be those for me.
Definitely. If you could add a song to the set list, which would it be?
Oh, this is a good question. Hannah Sarah asked this question, and I would have to say Tentpole Shangri-La.
Ooh, with a crowd, I could see that really, like, yeah, hitting the vibes.
That's a fun one. I mean, he played almost all of the Crux, which is really cool. The only songs
exactly
from the Crux that we haven't heard live are Crux, which some people did hear it because he played it at a few shows, and then Golden Line. But I'm pretty sure, which I'm surprised he didn't play for his family.
Awesome.
But I think he just like wasn't ready, or like it just wasn't the right energy for a live show. But
you know what I would love to see?
Yeah.
I want your video.
Oof.
I know it would be a little hard, but I think that would be a sexy fucking song played.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and Keep Your Head Up.
Keep Your Head Up would be such a hype song. Like, yeah, literally, that's a song I'd be jumping up and down to. I think he should do Ugly Fisherman and everybody moshes. Just saying.
Fuck you. Okay, so let's do this last one. Favorite Joe being silly or chaotic moment?
Ooh, it wasn't at that show, but where he dropped the mic, like, that's Stacey coded. And I just love that he didn't miss a beat. Like, that footage, like, I pissed myself laughing. But I love that he's a human. He's like us. He's clumsy. And he just picked it up and the crowd just kept singing and stuff. That was definitely, I was like, that's Joe, 100%.
Yeah. I'm going to reiterate the fact that, like, obviously, I don't think he's ever going to hear this. But, like, if he did, Joe, if you're listening,
you're amazing, baby doll.
Don't beat yourself up over those moments, because those moments are what
stands out and makes it fun and memorable.
Yeah. Like, we don't want a perfect show. We want to, like, spend that time with you and get to know you and your, like, authentic self. So, like, those moments are, like, what I, like, live for at shows. Like, so... yeah, him being silly during Chateau, top tier, him splashing me with his water, his tea that he spilled on the keyboard. I mean, I got wet at the show, so.
So that's the name of the episode, right?
Yeah, that whole show was very chaotic in, like, the best way. So that would be my favorite chaos, I think.
Where do you think is next? Like, not counting, you know, another bite, where do you think would be a really cool place for him to perform again or perform for the first time? I'm going to say Red Rocks.
Red Rocks. Yeah. That's what I've been saying. Like, book Red Rocks, Joe. Like, I will be there. And
oh, yeah. I will find a way to get there, and we will experience
it. I'm putting that into the universe. I mean, obviously, I'd love him to come, like, other places close to me again, which, yeah. I mean, Baltimore is not, like, a huge place for people to, like,
they do a lot of venues there.
On tours. Yeah, they do. They're, like, Pier 6 is pretty cool. It's, like, a outdoor venue. But other than that, I love going to shows in D.C. and Philly. So coming back to D.C. or Philly, I'd be great with. So
I know he's not going to do Maine, because what's in Maine? Stephen King and trees. But, like, Connecticut would be pretty sick. I know he's doing that festival.
That's where we're
going
to see him, at the festival. Yeah, that's cool. Red Rocks. That's my answer. Yeah.
Boom.
Well, this was, like, a fucking blast.
This was amazing.
I'm glad we just finally got to kind of fully process this whole experience.
Yeah, we haven't had really a chance to talk, and I just want to debrief, because I'm one of those people, after a convention or a concert, I love looking through the photos. I love looking through the videos. I love talking about it.
Yeah.
And it meant a lot that you went to multiple shows and you reported back and sent so many great videos and photos to me, because I felt like I was there. It was just so much fun and much needed this spring.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We needed it for sure. Like I said, don't know how I would have made it through the past month without these shows. So stars aligned.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. Seriously. Thank you. Let's talk Joe merch, because there was a lot of fun merch for these shows. And
there was, and I liked that he changed it up. Like, mm-hmm. I know, like, some people were like, oh, I didn't do specific posters, but I know for the New York show, he did that really fun yellow poster, which was cool. You know, he would change in and out of shirts. I know there were, like, stick-on tattoos and stuff. Like I said previously, I had gotten keychains for us. We did the socks. I did the poster and, like, the gold Sharpie, put a star next to Denver and Boston because I'm a loser. And I got the post animal poster because, you know, them all dressed as knights. Hello. But let's see. Keychain socks. So shout out to Rachel. She got me the signed Fisherman Friends cough drop box at some shows. Joe, we're selling those, and the proceeds went to a good cause. It was just, she did it because she knew I was bummed out about missing Philly, and that was just so incredibly generous. And Rachel, you're the MVP. But I have that now, and Fisherman Friends commented on Instagram. It was like, oh, life's better with friends. I can't stand it. Let's see. So you did say in the VIP package, it was slippers.
Yeah, so slippers, the Crux Hotel slippers, which are
love that,
which are really cool. It's a tote bag that says the Crux Hotel, and then it has a box of Fisherman's Friends and like a little patch in there. So I ended up at the Philly show, a couple people who had been VIP at a few shows gave me their stuff. One of them gave me their whole bag, and one of them gave me a pair of slippers. So I was able to get your merch bag from Philly. So I was also at the Brooklyn show able to give Juan a merch bag that I got in Brooklyn. And then I still have one. Plus, I have an extra pair of slippers that we can do as a giveaway. So
yeah, maybe stay tuned, guys. We might have some fun giveaways coming up.
Yeah.
So I really love that he put the attention to detail with kind of the theme and stuff. But super, super cute. I got, shout out to In the Dark Customs, Lindsay. I got a custom pop of Joe performing like a virgin. And it's him doing the Gasoline, because as we know, I'm obsessed with that cover. And this is my third custom pop by Lindsay. These are one of a kind. So, like, can't order this. I have it. but the detail is so cute. If you look closely, he has the Donald Duck shirt. But that footage lives rent-free in my brain. And
yeah.
I'm like, that's going to go on my desk at work.
I
love it.
I also bought the long sleeve black shirt from the tour.
You said it was cozy,
yeah,
too.
It's
comfortable.
Great. And it has like his face on it. And then I think it says like the Crux and Joe. It's very cool and comfy. So I was excited to have that.
I love that. I know I have to give you your vinyl because I'm an idiot and I buy double. I know I'm waiting for the CD to ship along with the Delia like mini vinyl that's in the process of being sent to me. Shout out to Boo Mail. What a sweetheart. Sweetheart. Fucking Boston. Sweetheart. She made these really cool Potion Cafe coasters, which I got. They're cute.
I saw those in person. She showed them to me when we were in line together.
That's adorable. And I heard that she sent them to Joe. And I was like, you know, he's putting his, you know, half drink tea cups on them. She also did stickers and buttons for the Crux. Really cute patches. Definitely got it. From the ferry.
She did the tour things, the tickets too, right?
The tickets, which are so, so cute. I, you know, got you one and stuff. I have Denver, Boston, Philly. I'm going to probably give Rachel my Philly one because I was like, I didn't go to that one. But they're just so pretty. And a lot of people didn't get physical tickets because it's all online.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice. And she's offering now for the Another Bite tour. She's going to have tickets available. Some of them have like fake little bite marks in them.
Yeah, they're like, really, really cute.
I think
I'm going to have to, I know you got me the Denver one, and I'm probably going to have to get the rest of the shows I was at made.
Of course.
Because those are really cool. Little like memento.
Just so cute. And I love how like, you know, it's reflecting and stuff. It's really cute. From the ferry, Boom Mother. I think I'm getting that Etsy shop right. I got the bumper sticker that's based off the billboards for Coachella. It's pronounced Joe. And I have it on my car. All my bumper stickers, guys, is Joe themed. I have the My Dog's Expecting Me. I have a Scoops Troop. And then I have, it's pronounced Joe. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I'm so terrible. I never put bumper stickers on my car, but like, I'm tempted. I'm tempted.
I was like, my dad's rolling in his grave. He hated bumper stickers. He's like, don't do it. And I never did it because I'm a car person, because it really does fuck up your paint on your car.
Yeah.
But he passed away and I was like, all right, this is like my gray area. This is my loophole. So I have three bumper stickers, but I'm like, oh,
I do the really strong, like magnetic ones, because it's like, yes, you have the run, the chance that somebody might take it, but like it stays on pretty well. And like, it's
not permanent. I
didn't
even know they made those.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know, man.
Yeah.
And then shout out to the lovely Leviathan. Gave me these beautiful standees on my little like steady shrine of Steve and Eddie. And I also got Fool, which is Kiri, like with the jester hat and stuff. And I made the keychains into actually earrings and I wore them to Boston.
Nice.
So really, really cool. I know there's some really cool merch probably coming up further down the line. A lot of people doing really cute, like, you know, shirts, bumper stickers, posters and stuff. Just shout out to these small businesses and Etsy. You guys are incredibly artists and you're just making this tour more memorable.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's getting a kick.
Everybody is so creative. And I was like sitting in line with Brie for a while on the Wednesday show. And I can't remember what it was, but I like in a conversation, she like had an idea of something to make. And she's like, I'm just always thinking of ideas. And it was so cool to like see that creativity.
Her process.
Yeah. And how things just kind of like come to her. And like, she's like, that would be such a cool thing to make. Like, so I can't remember what it was, but hopefully she makes whatever it was.
She's talented. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Shout out to her.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, that was really fun to talk about some Joe merch. Is there any other Joe merch that you're hoping to get?
Definitely. Like I told Megan before we started recording, I was like, I might get somebody, you know, wink, wink, Megan. I might, you know, give somebody money to get me that blue Joe tour shirt because I heard it's really soft and comfy and stuff. Actually, I forgot Poetic Betty. I got this custom shirt. It's Snoopy, which I kind of love that people are like associating Joe with Snoopy. It's this weird cute thing.
The whole Joe cool thing. Like Snoopy
exactly.
As like Joe cool. It's really fun.
Boo Mail did really cute Snoopy stickers based off it, but there's a lot of merch out there that's Joe themed and Snoopy. But it's a shirt of like Snoopy skateboarding and it says like Leave Me Alone, I'm listening to, and you can custom put any band. And of course they put Joe, but super soft and awesome. But I'm looking forward to, I mean, obviously with Stranger Things coming out, I'm looking forward to all the Steve Harrington pops. But with this tour, I just love seeing all these posters and shirts and little knickknacks and stuff. You guys are so creative, and as a collector, I'm going to just keep getting it.
Yeah, that's so funny. You can keep buying the merch, and I'll keep buying the concert tickets.
There we go. We're doing great, guys. You know, we're helping the economy.
All right. Well, I think that's probably it for our episode today. This was so fun, and we appreciate everyone listening. If you're kind
Absolutely.
Of just tuning in because you are listening about Joe and you haven't listened to us before, then I appreciate it. And definitely
Absolutely.
Find us on social media. We're most active on Instagram at Skull Rock Broadcast, and I'm at Steady Stories, and Stacey is at Stay Still Reviews. So find us there. I've been like trying to start posting some of my videos on TikTok, and that's been fun.
Ooh,
so
okay.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm
we'll
trying
see.
To get better at the tickety talk.
But we're on other socials, so you can always find us there too, but we're just like not as active.
Stay tuned for some fun giveaways that we have planned for the summer, and definitely check out our Patreon because there's a lot of cool bonus and fun things coming down the line.
Yeah, definitely. And we try to like post things early there. So some of our bonus episodes have video over there. So some fun stuff. But we will be back next week. And until then, I guess, over and out.
Over and out.
I'm not sure if I love the idea of you driving.
Oh, I'm starting to suffer. Harrington's daughter. Don't you big boy.
All right. We are back. And
we're back. Locked and loaded.
I can't remember what I always say. It's been so long since we recorded a secret segment. And we weren't really going to do it today either. But like, I just couldn't.
Fuck it.
I couldn't resist because it's been way too long since we did a secret segment. So if you're here, this is our secret steady segment. And it's where we talk about fan fiction, which I know that's not for everybody. And like, that's totally fine. But like, we love fan fiction. And we love steady. So if you are interested, stick around. If you're not, see ya. We'll catch you on the flip side later. Bye.
See you later.
But I do have a few things that I've been reading and I would love to talk about, but I'm going to let you go first. So what have you been reading lately?
I'm going to go down the line real quick. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Jesus. Oh, so yeah, on Friday, Prism updated.
I know. I'm behind.
You have some catching up to do,
I know.
Bitch.
I know. I'm, and
like,
I
need something with eggs, and I'm like, ta-da.
I know, exactly. I'm going to get back there. I needed something fresh for some reason. That's just what my brain wanted. But like,
We will get to what you pursued, which I thought was a correct choice.
Yeah.
But you sent me, and I haven't finished it yet, but so far so good, Dream Blight Rotation.
Oh, Jesus. I'm not talking about that on public.
Girl.
I'm
like,
not talking about that on main.
I'm like midway through it. It's from Sad State of Affairs.
Yeah. And actually, a lot of people sent me recs from Sad State of Affairs, so I definitely need to check that author out. But I just randomly came across that fic, and that was one of the fucking hottest things I've ever read in my life.
Girl, that's all I'm saying. I got into a really good story. It's quite long, and it's still going, but it's called I'd Give Anything for You, where basically it's like an AU, and Steve finds Eddie, who's a homeless person, living in his garage when he was away on a business trip, and he basically takes him in, and it's like a slow burn, but now it's getting spicy because they're now officially a couple, spoiler alert, but that author is really, really good.
Hmm.
Whiskey, Cigarettes, and Other Things That Burn by Day 842.
Yeah, are you caught up?
Shit, I'm caught up.
Yeah.
And girl, when it's right, it's right.
I love that fic so much, and there's some things that I don't always like reading about in that fic, but I feel like the way the author, I think we did talk about this a long time ago. Just because I remember talking about this with you when it first started. But it's a whip, and there have been a couple of new chapters lately, and just the way the author is doing it, it's very well done. Like it's not super serious, but it's like, it is being done with like respect.
Some
addiction and stuff like that. So and just their dynamic, like, when like Steve goes to the doctor with Eddie, like,
girl, and he volunteers to get tested too.
Yeah.
Like, I choked up. I was like, this is incredible. Like, it's just, it's very, very well done. This author is incredible. So shout out to them. I'm reading, it's still going, 40-Year-Old Virgin by Steve Loves Eddie. And it's basically like, you know, after the upside down stuff, Eddie survives, but he's never had sex. And he's kind of like working it at a garage and stuff. And he's kind of in a slump. And Steve comes to actually sell his house because his parents have passed away and he's divorced. And I guess like they tried for a baby, but they weren't able to do it. And he's like, oh no, I'm bi. And Eddie's like, holy fucking shit. So really, really cute. I think I'm going to actually check out Prism tomorrow. But yeah, again, you have to be in the right state of mind. But I have been just enjoying so many recommendations, guys. Send them away.
Yeah.
But now I'm really excited for you.
Okay.
Because you read one incredible story you're in the middle of.
Yeah. Well, let me talk about some other stuff first. So also Whiskey, Cigarettes, and Other Things That Burn.
Hell yeah.
Definitely going to be like a fave of mine. Already is. I have also been reading, I'm not completely caught up with Scorpio Skies, but I have been
reading that.
That's as is Onion Chiver or Asriel, their Patreon. That's one of their Patreon stories.
Which, by the way, not to interrupt you, you recommended The Girl That Eats Flowers. And I read that on the plane back from Denver. And let's just say it takes a left-hand turn and you're like, holy fucking shit. Very well written. Deals with some serious stuff, but it's bizarre in the best way possible.
It's really
so
cool.
Thank you for that rec.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I decided to read Tuesday's Gone with the Wind. So that is by This Apple Pie Life, who wrote Take the Money and Run,
is responsible for this friendship.
Yeah, I mean, that's what started this podcast. So definitely... I've been meaning to read it and it's crazy that I haven't, and I'm definitely enjoying it. And it's
I feel like that was This Apple Pie's Life. Their two epics was Take the Money and Run and then Tuesday's Gone. And I read it about 2 years ago, and like Take the Money and Run, I could not put it down. It does deal with some serious issues. It's so interesting, just the amount of detail yet again put into it.
Uh-huh.
There's photos, there's references. The playlist is fucking amazing. And I really, really like Steve and Eddie's relationship. It's interesting and it's complicated, but there are some really good memorable scenes. And buckle up because it gets intense.
Yeah, yeah. I'm ready for it, though. I'm very excited about it. So
hell yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably be reading that for a little bit because I'm not a super fast reader, especially when I'm distracted by Joe Keery concert videos all the time. So,
freaking Joe.
Yeah, exactly. So on that note, I think that's a good place to stop. And yeah, thanks for hanging out with us. And we will see you later.
Check you later.
Peace.